Greetings, saints. God bless you and keep you. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you for this wonderful revelation, Lord, that you're about to do for your people, a provision for your people. Thank you so much, Father. We're getting prepared for the wilderness to come, and you're preparing with great provision your people. And we appreciate it so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right, saints, let's go at it. You remember I recently did two parts. We called Bride We Rewarded, Factious and Apostates Judged. That was parts one and two. This is part three. And it's about that, but it's also about, the larger house and the provision for the bride. If you remember, in part one, the bride was being rewarded by moving to a larger room slash place slash house, which represented freedom from constraint, more responsibility, more people, and in part two, was revealed great provision given in this large place. And now in part three is more confirmation. So we stretched this out over a little bit of time, but as the dreams and revelations came in, they are perfect. They are just perfect. Okay, the first one was given to Eve Brast on May the 7th. 2019, and she said, I dreamed that the sun was going down, and it was getting late, and I do believe it is getting late. There is two things coming. One is judgment, and another is prosperity for the sake of the saints for the coming tribulation, okay? And I was walking to my vehicle, and that was parked near the edge of a large parking lot. A large parking lot is a place for many vehicles at rest. And as you know, the natural man is a vehicle for the spiritual man. All right? There was a small tree near my car and a lot of short dead grass on the front lawn of a large white building. There's a larger place symbolized there. A UBM people who are dead to self and pure. And of course, out of the UBM people will come a bride like that. Dead grass under their feet, right? All flesh is as grass, right? With modern-looking pillars along the front of it and lots of glass windows. And I believe glass windows for the house, which we are the house, represent good discernment for this group of people. Good discernment. Good perception. This building belonged to UBM, Eve said. So, moving to the large room, as we saw in other revelations, the large place, a place of more freedom, greater authority, and works, enlarging our steps and our footprints, as in Eve's earlier dream about this. This is a reward given to the bride for not falling in the tests and tribulations that she's been through. Most of this test and tribulation was through the faction. And those that fell into faction, of course, failed the test. Okay. Eve went on to say, as I was going to get into my car, a light-skinned black woman, I believe this is symbolizing in this context spiritual carnality, came up behind me. All right. I went over to her and asked her if she would like to have my parking space. So I believe this represents the bride giving the place of rest to the needy. Those who are carnal are, of course, the whole problem is we need to enter into the rest. That's where all provision is, right? Glory to God. She opened her car door and stood there and said, "Oh, yes, that would be great." And yes, it is great. The rest is great. Resting in Jesus because of the promises of God is great. The righteous shall live from faith, right? I said, okay. And as I turned to go back to my car out of the parking space, she said, "Hold on, I've got to give you something." She went around to the trunk of the car and got her purse out and handed me a large stack of bills. I said, "You don't have to give me this. It's okay." And she said, "No, you take it. I just appreciate you so much." I want to tell you, the bride has been going through a test, a trial. But God is going to glorify the bride, according to the scriptures, with many people coming to her. And this person that I believe represented a carnal Christian, not a sinful necessarily Christian, but a carnal Christian, not quite understanding everything needed to be understanding so they could walk in more, you know, that they will come to appreciate the bride's gift of rest by blessing them. Yes, I believe this is going to happen. It's going to be because of God, not because of reasoning or anything like that. But God can do anything he wants to do. And he, as you know from the scriptures, blesses the bride. And so then I went and got into my car and was going to back out when her husband, who was also a light-skinned black man, I believe this is symbolizing spiritual carnality, not that black people are carnal or no more carnal than anybody else, but symbolism has to be understood in a parable, right? Came driving up on the dead grass. I got a revelation of death to self, right? Came driving up on the red grass and bumped into my car on the passenger side with his Jeep. A Jeep is, of course, an off-road vehicle, or made to be able to go off-road. And I got out of my car to go assess the damage. And as I went around to the other side, the man was apologizing and telling me not to worry, that he would take care of the damage. Well, I believe that the Lord showed me here that, you know, the carnality and the affection itself, too, have done a little damage to the bride, but it's going to be forgiven for those who drive up on the grass, put the dead grass, the old flesh, under their feet. They will be forgiven, and they will appreciate the bride. And at this point, the Lord told me and confirmed it that the faction against the bride had already been dealt with here. And that's why there is a repentance, okay? Pretty neat. And I told the man not to worry about it, that the scratch was no big deal. That's right. We'll live through it. But he insisted on giving me a lot of money, as well as he pulled his wallet out and also gave me a big stack of money. Okay, well, she gave a very good text here that I believe is exactly what this is talking about, Isaiah 64 and 5. "Lift up thine eyes round about and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to thee," that is the bride in this context, Zion. "Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be carried in the arms." So these are going to be the offspring of the bride, right? Like Psalm 45 teaches about. "Then thou shalt see and be radiant, and thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. The abundance of the sea represents in Revelations the peoples, tribes, multitudes, and tongues, right? So coming to the bride, this is the restoration movement. This is the reformer movement of the man-child through the bride to the church, right? And from what I see here, that Father will put it in the heart of immature Christians to appreciate the bride and come to her and support her work with great riches, because it's needed to send forth the word and provide for the people in the time of the harvest. Amen? So here I'm going to go on with the text, verse 6 on down. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they of Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. This is a revival. As you know, the man-child and through the bride comes a great revival over the people of God, the church. And all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. So great flocks will come under the bride. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. In other words, leaders will come to the knowledge of the Lord. And they shall come up with acceptance upon mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Amen. So, the house of his glory represents his people coming into the image of Jesus Christ through these reformers that God is about to raise up. Amen. The reformers at this time are being persecuted and hated and criticized and lied about and slandered and all this stuff. I mean, any leader in the scriptures went through that. And, of course, the truth is it's happening now for them. Their tribulation in order to come into this glory, in order to be able to give it to others, is coming to an end. That tribulation that causes all this is coming to an end. And great provision is going to be given to these people to do this work and to reach out to the whole world, because we have a very short time to do this. And who are these that fly as a cloud? That's a lot of people, right? As the doves to their windows. We had a revelation about that. Doves to their windows. Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them. There it is. For the name of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And foreigners shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. Because, I know that a lot of people think that the people of God are just storing up in order to be able to live through the time of tribulation and figure out a way to make a living when there's no mark of the beast. All that's in God's hands. He's got foreigners to do the labor, and kings are going to minister unto us, as they will be doing very shortly. You will see what I mean. But their job is to be ministers. The most valuable people God has upon the earth are these reformers, because they're going to get the word out. They don't have time to make a living. They're going to trust the Lord. They're going to walk by faith, and God's going to supply. Okay? And other people will do that job for them. For in my wrath I smote thee. Yes, he did. He put to death the old flesh, which is his enemy. But in my favor have I had mercy upon thee. Amen. Glory be to God. thy gates also shall be open continually, the bride, you know, and they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the wealth of the nations. There it is again. And their kings led captive. For that nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. That's God's judgment upon those that oppose the work of the man, child, and the bride. Because, let me say, when I say bride, it includes the man, child. Because Jerusalem included David, the man, child, type of the man, child ministry today, you know, which is all around the world. And David was there in Jerusalem. He just happened to be the head, but he was a part of that bride, right? He also is the one that is used to raise up the bride into the image of Jesus, right? For that nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Yep, I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee. Right? That's what the Lord said. And he wasn't talking to all the carnals out there. He was talking about his holy people. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine, the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. Yes, he's going to beautify the place of his sanctuary. Oh, glory be to God. That is so cool. And of course, you know, the bride was beautiful, right? To the King of Kings. And the sons of them that afflicted thee, yes, that is the faction, shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. He's still talking to the bride here. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. There you have it. That's what he called the bride. He also said that to John, right? Come hither and I'll show you the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And he called her the bride, right? And verse 15. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, that yes, this has happened, and it's happened all around the world, that the bride has been disreputed by slander and lies and all these things. So that no man pass through thee. Yes, they tried to keep God's people from being associated with the bride or their teachings. That's what they wanted to do. Because it's the devil. Because the devil don't want you to know the inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the nations. In other words, the nations are going to provide everything that's needed. You know, just as the king commanded that the nations around Israel provide for the building of the temple. And shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Yes, he is a mighty Savior, and he's about to prove it. For brass I will bring gold. That's a really good exchange there, isn't it? Brass for gold. In other words, that's great prosperity given. Like Jesus multiplied the fishes and the loaves, he can do the same thing with brass and gold. And for iron I will bring silver. Again, that's a great exchange right there. And for wood, brass. And for stones, iron. He's going to bring prosperity to a people who have proven that they won't stumble and fall because of it. You hear what I say? Not everybody can handle money, especially when it's for other people. Jesus said, if you don't renounce everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. We are no longer owners in this New Testament. We are stewards of God's provision for others around us. Amen. I will also make thy officers peace and thine exactors righteousness. Praise God. That's what we like. We've had enough of those other people. Verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. That is, the people who dwell in the promised land, on the promises of God. In other words, their tribulation has come to an end for a purpose. And that purpose is now they're going to be respected as leaders and providers of God's people. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, desolation nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. Oh yes. In other words, if a wall is salvation, when you enter into it, you manifest God's salvation, which we should all be doing, spirit, soul, and body. 30, 60, and 100-fold, right? And going into the bride is manifesting the beauty that the Lord wants, and it is a manifestation of salvation. And thy gates praise. So these are people that praise. They enter into his presence with thanksgiving and praise, right? And verse 20, thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. In other words, for the Lord will be thine everlasting light. This is a discernment that holy people really, really covet and should covet. That the light of the Lord will be our guidance. You know, he is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet, right? Amen. They want this pure guidance. They want to be in the pure will of God. And the days of thy mourning shall be ended. There it is again. Amen. Thy people also shall be all righteous. Now, that can't be said of the church, but it can be said of the bride. But then the bride is the one through whom the man-child will bring this righteousness to the church. Remember Jesus, the man-child, and the bride, those that John said were gathering unto Jesus in the very beginning of his ministry, whom he taught, he raised up, and he sent forth to bring the church into that same righteousness, right? Thy people shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the promised land. The land that was once ruled over, which is this physical life, you see, the land which was once ruled over by the Canaanites. In other words, the flesh man ruled in the promised land, the land that God gave unto us, which is this natural life, right? It should be owned by the spiritual man, ruled by the spiritual man. The only way that can happen is for the Israelite to go into the land and put to death the old man, the carnal man, the Canaanite. That's the parable that people are missing. The branch of my planting. Amen. You know, when the branch first comes forth, it's the man-child, right? But it's growing. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Oh, yes, God's going to come to be glorified in his people and marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. Yes, that's what it says. 22, the little one shall become a thousand. That's a revival. One person coming into the kingdom will bring in a thousand. And the small one, a strong nation. And you could also see the man-child here, okay, bearing much, much fruit. Many will be revived and come to the bride, right? I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. It's true. And I believe the time is very near, and that's why the Lord is giving this confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. Isaiah 61, 4 through 9. Now you remember at the beginning of Isaiah 61, it was the man-child, Jesus' first teaching and preaching, right? And he talked about the anointing being on him to care for the people. And also judgment coming through him. But I'm going down to verse 4 because I want to stay in the area of what we're talking about here. And they shall build the old wastes. Well, you remember why Jerusalem became waste. It became waste because the rulers over the rest of Israel apostatized, turned away from God. So he sent the beast kingdoms to conquer them and to destroy what they had built. And so now these people are coming back out of Babylon, righteous people, the first fruits to come out of Babylon and to begin the rebuilding. They're going to rebuild the old waste places. The glory of original Jerusalem will be manifested. They shall raise up the former desolations. Amen. They shall, and this is speaking to the bride in the context here. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Notice, folks, we've gone through a great falling away all the way through the dark ages, and we're still in a dark age in most of the church now. They haven't come out from among them. So these desolations of many generations are going to be restored. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Yeah, that once again, we're speaking about what we were a few minutes ago, that God's got a work for these people to do. They're going to be the priests and the ministers of God, but other people are going to take care of their flocks, et cetera, et cetera. And foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations. There it is again. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. See, because the bride's coming out of the shame, all the slander and lies that were thrown against her, right? They're going to have double, that double anointing that was given to those who overcame. And instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, notice it always says this, in their land. I mean, you can't be in Babylon. Even Moses told Pharaoh, we can't serve God in Egypt. It's not the right land, right? You're not standing on the proper ground here. You're not conquering the old Canaanite here, you know, so on. They were slaves there. That's why they couldn't overcome. Now, we don't need to be slaves to the old man. The old man needs to be our slave, right? Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery with iniquity. That's what's been has come against the bride before, and he's coming to recompense this, right? The thieves, robbers, the unjust have persecuted the bride. But God hates it. He is only permitting it for a crucifixion purpose, right? I, the Lord, love justice. He's going to have justice. The wicked are going to get what they deserve. I hate robbery. They've done a lot of that. With iniquity, done a lot of that. And I will give them their recompense in truth. You want to know what truth is? What is going to be the thing that's going to judge people? The Lord said it was His Word. It's going to be judged by His Word. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that is, those that overcome. and their seed shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. On the other hand, do you know that the faction was told over and over that their shame would be known in all the earth? Amen. So, you know, I was going to leave that there, and just before getting on this broadcast, the Lord pointed me in this direction, and I quickly put it together, what he was pointing me to. The man, child, and bride received gold and silver for the preservation of the saints. And I'm going to use Genesis 24 and 35 first. The Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And who was that? Who were these servants coming to get? The bride for the man child. Genesis 24:53. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah, the bride of the man-child, Jacob, right? He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Yep, some of the kin folks will even get a little bit of the slop over of these blessings. through the man-child and the bride, the woman will receive gold and silver. Exodus 3:22. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and they shall despoil the Egyptians. So you see, when they were coming out of Egypt, freedom from the old man in the Red Sea, right? When they were coming out of Egypt, they plundered Egypt so that when they went into the wilderness, they would have this gold and silver and so on. And I want to tell you that those that abuse it in the wilderness, they will lose it, as you know. Okay. Exodus 11:2. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let them ask every man his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And this was to prepare them to go into the wilderness, which you know as the tribulation. It's called the wilderness in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and chapter 17. The first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years. It's called the wilderness. And you know it as the tribulation. It's a preparation for the tribulation. And Exodus 12:35, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they asked of the Egyptians jewels of gold, silver and jewels of gold and raiment. In other words, this money is going to come through the lost world. Yes, it is. This provision belongs to the Lord for the harvest. I'm going to give you Joshua 6:19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are holy unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. They were devoted, it was said, to the Lord. In other words, it belongs to the Lord. Just as Jesus said, who is our Lord, if you don't renounce everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. We are not owners of 90% while the Lord gets 10%. That's Old Testament. He said, renounce everything you have. You cannot be my disciple. It is for the Lord's direction. It's not necessarily that he's going to take it all out of your hands. You're a steward of it. You are to use it for what he tells you. And if you sow abundantly, you'll reap abundantly. And if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. That's what he said. He didn't say anything about 10%. in the New Testament. He rebuked the Jews for abusing the 10% thing. He said, you tithe the anise and cumin and have left undone the weightier matters of the law. He called it of the law. He said the 10% was of the law, Jesus said. Now he upped the ante. A lot of people haven't figured that out yet. 2 Samuel 8:11. These also did King David dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he dedicated of all the nations which he subdued. Okay, so he's the plunder of the nations. When they left Egypt, Egypt was plundered. When they plundered the nations, it was dedicated of the nations that he subdued. 1 Kings 7:51, thus all the work that King Solomon wrought in the house of the Lord was finished. The house of the Lord, that's what it's for, right? And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated for the house of the Lord, right? Even the silver and the gold and the vessels, and he put them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Okay, and also we see that Achan took that which was, quote, devoted to the Lord for his own use. And he and his house were judged for that. And don't think it's going to be any different, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. So listen to this, all you that come in to this great provision of God. It's not yours. It's God's. Joshua 7:24-25. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the mantle, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them up unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Because he hid for his own purpose the gold and the silver and the wedge of gold and the Babylonish mantle. That's why he stumbled right there. Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. Well, don't you think they was probably already dead? Yep, but they just wanted to make sure they did a good job. Stoned them with stones, burned them with fire, and then stoned them with stones. The Lord wants to magnify the judgment that he's going to bring upon the people who steal what belongs to God and his people. And folks, some people have done that. They're incurred judgment upon themselves, and you will know it soon. And it was, of course, for the people's need and for the harvest. Joshua 22:8 says, and spake unto them, saying, return with much wealth unto your tents, and with very much cattle and silver and gold, with brass and with iron and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. Yes, the spoil is about to be given, and you must divide it with the brethren. The thieves are going to get judged. Psalm 105:37. And he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among his tribes. It was for the temple, which is the building up of the saints, right? That's what it was for. It wasn't for anybody to live a prosperous life that the prosperity preachers preach about. That's all their wrongdoing and their plundering of God's people. And they will be plundered. They're like Achan. So it was for the temple, which is the building up of the saints into the image of God, a house for him to live in, right? His house. Ezra 1 and 4. And whosoever is left in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. See, it's got to be rebuilt, folks. It's been torn down by Babylon and Babylonish preachers. And now it's got to be rebuilt. And he's saying to the people around them, you supply these needs. And verse 6, and all they that were round about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts and with precious things besides all that was willingly offered. And Ezra 8 and 30, so the priests and the Levites received the weight of the silver and the gold and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of our God. Okay, back to Eve. I know we left her a long time back here, but she got some more to say here about this revelation. So after this, I walked over to the large UBM building and went up some stairs to the second floor. And all the local UBM people were living there. Of course, that's all spiritual, right? And there was a large communal kitchen. Yes, we do have a large communal kitchen. It's our large house represents our household of people, not just a physical house. It's a household of people who will grow and are one in Jesus and feed at our spiritual kitchen. All right. Don and two other men told me to follow them down some stairs into a large basement room. Of course, basement is below ground level. It's under the house, right? That also had stairs going back up on the right-hand side of the basement. So there was a way to go down, but there was also a way to come up, right? Let me say, of those who have gone down in the earth, on the left, notice, as goats, some will resurrect on the right as true sheep. The basement is below the earth, right? So there are some that are down there going through death, and there are some will be resurrected, and some will never come back to the Lord. So Don said, it's not safe down here. I was joking the other day when I shared a little bit of this. Well, I could see the bride say, well, what'd you bring me down here for then? Don said, it's not safe down here, which because it's under the earth or under the flesh, right? And the above ground levels of the building were over the dead grass or the flesh. But these down in the basement were under the level of the flesh, right? So the people living in the basement level as goats are under the grass or the flesh. And then Don said to the bride here, you need to walk around the edge of the room and go sit on the other stairs until we take care of things. So the stairs, the resurrection stairs, the going upstairs on the right? And this sounded very much like a dream I shared with you many, many years ago and was given to me, where I went around the old man ministering to the babies that he was killing with his word, right? I went around them, the old man, and went into the sanctuary and saw the resurrection of the babies. Because the old man in the so-called sanctuary, by their words, are putting to death many, many people. So this is what this represents, I believe. Then Eve said, I realized that there were large metal blades hanging from the ceiling. This is why it was dangerous down there. Large metal blades, literally blades, cutting edge blades, right? Hanging from the ceiling like rows and rows of vertical blinds, and so that they could cut a person up if someone were to brush by them a certain way. Yes, that's the factious. They're there to kill. They're seeking somebody to kill with their lying words, right? And so the factious people live down in the basement of the house because they are earthly, Eve said. And by the way, they do things hidden and in darkness. But Eve said, Jesus, represented by Don, which means world ruler, will push them all into a corner and contain them to keep his true saints from being dismembered from the body by these blades. Right? You've heard of the revelations that we've gotten about that. You can't make this stuff up, saints. It's just awesome. Psalm 52 and 2. Thy tongue deviseth very wickedness like a sharp razor. So the tongue is what is represented here by these blades. Like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Yes, you have rules, saints, about factious people in the scriptures. If you don't obey them, around them, you will get captured. It's important that we pass the test of love, which these people totally failed. And that's why they're down in the basement. Okay. He went on to say, as I sat on the other steps, I watched the three men pushing the metal blades far back into a corner of the basement. So anybody that this still represents has been removed out of the way, right? When they were done, they all came up to me and handed me a large brown leather purse string bag full of silver coins and some gold coins as well. Well, there you have it again. A symbol of the same thing that we've already seen in this parable. The dark ones coming and giving to the bride, meaning some of the faction will return. Because she was coming up. This happened at the time when they were pushing the blades out of the way. So Don said, we were told that this belongs to you. In other words, he was giving it to the bride. At the same time that the dark ones were being judged here, I mean, not all dark ones are judged. Some are honest and they're faithful. And as you saw earlier, they're already coming to the bride and giving their gifts to the bride. So, this belongs to you. So, he gave them the gold and the silver. And it came from these pagans, pretty much. It seems that they had found this treasure during the time that they were pushing those sharp blades into the corner of the basement. In other words, it's a time of judgment upon the wicked who have mistreated the bride. It's also a time of giving a reward to the bride. Notice. The corner is a place of shame and punishment for having divided the Lord's body by faction. And through this, the elect of the factious will repent and return to the bride. Okay. I don't say that they will be a part of the bride. I say that they will be under the bride. Isaiah 49. 17 through 26, I think, demonstrates this very well. It says, thy children make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth from thee. Amen. They are there for a purpose to crucify the bride, and when they're through, they're gone. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee, come to the bride. The carnals are coming to the bride. They know the bride is beautiful. They know the bride is right because God has judged the wicked and rewarded the righteous, and they're looking on, just like it was in the last chapter of Malachi. Then shall you return and discern who serves God and who doesn't, right? That's right. As I live, says the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament. That is, all these people are coming to learn of the Lord. And gird thyself with them like a bride. For as for thy waste and thy desolate places, and thy land that hath been destroyed by the wicked false leaders, right? Surely now shalt thou be too straight for the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. Yes, they're going to give up their persecution of the bride. Going to be far away. The children of thy bereavement, that's the children that were stolen from the bride, killed by those that divide the body. Right? The children of thy bereavement shall yet say in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. They want a place to dwell that's not quite as straight as the bride. Now think about the parable in the Old Testament. You have the bride, Jerusalem, ruled over by the king. David is a good example. The rest of the people are dwelling in other places around Jerusalem that's not as glorious as the bride. It's kind of like the shepherd of Hermas. He said, everybody's not going to be in this building. Some are going to be in a less glorious building, right? So you see, give place to me that I may dwell. So they didn't dwell in the bride, but they dwelled around the bride in Israel. Israel represents the church, and the bride represents the bride of the church. So, 21. Then shalt thou say in thy heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have been bereaved of my children? So their children were taken away by the faction, right? And am solitary and exile and wandering to and fro. And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where were they? So suddenly the bride is going to discover they have a lot of people they didn't know anything about that God was raising up, even by their teachings that have gone forth. Yes. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set up my ensign to the peoples. He's bringing his people out from among them, out from all the places that they were scattered among the nations, right? And they shall bring thy sons in their bosom, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and queens thy nursing mothers. Again, this provision out of the world will be given to the man-child, who gives it to the bride, who is using it for the provision of God's people. The gospel has to cover the world in a very short time, folks. And it's going to happen because the Lord has declared it. And multitudes are going to come out of the world. And they shall bow down to thee with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And they that wait for me shall not be put to shame. Wait on the Lord. Some of you are getting impatient, and I've tempted to too. But we wait on the Lord. It's all his plan. He's got the plan. We don't have sense enough to walk in the plan. We have to follow the Spirit. Therefore, we have to wait for the Lord. Right? He's out front, right? Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Yes. Those who have plundered God's people and taken them into captivity by their slander and their lies are going to lose those people. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the lawful captives be delivered. They're lawful captives. They stumbled. They fell. They made the mistake of disobeying the word, and they were taken into captivity. Right? They're lawful captives, but God is merciful. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Remember when David went out after the captives, and their wives were taken captive, and sons, and so on and so forth, and they recovered all. That is, all of the elect. So the prey of the terrible shall be delivered, for I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Praise be to God. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. In other words, they're devouring themselves. And they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Wow. Isn't that cool or what? Yes, it's very awesome. So, this is, we see again the judgment of the apostates and the faction. And I say it that way because there are apostates that aren't in the faction. They're just apostates, and they teach God's people that way, and they're Babylonish leaders that bring them into Babylonish bondage. So the Lord is going to prove that he is God. He can save his people. He can deliver his people. He's the Mighty One of Jacob. Jacob, of course, represents the church here. Then Eve said, we all walked up the stairs on the right side of the basement. So these are talking about leading captivity captive here. This is leading the people who were taken captive to the basement up to resurrection life, right? When a person is taken in bondage to a bunch of demons, there is a way of deliverance, repentance, confession of sins, and resurrection life. Many of them are too proud to take the way, and for that they'll lose their soul. But for those who repent and believe the gospel and go back to where the place they left from, and repent, there will be life from the Lord, right? And went up into the kitchen area. That's the first thing that they need, is back to the word that you rejected, the word that you rejected and put you in the basement, under the flesh, under the dominion of the old flesh, the old man. All flesh is as grass, Peter said, right? And after this, I walked up to another story where my room was. And this area was a lot like my apartment in real life, and my room was the same. Praise God. So, meaning all of this will happen while possibly it symbolizes that while she's still in that apartment. Could be a timing, right? And she said, Tim and Debbie and Tasha were all sleeping in the other bedroom across from mine. And then I woke up. So this building represents a communal building of the body of Christ that God is using to glorify the bride, right? And a place for them to minister to many. So, notice it's while she was still in her apartment. She was a part of this building. Wow. She said, I asked Father for a few words for this dream, and I received by faith at random three good words that do describe this dream. Daniel 7 and 27. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints. Saints, you know, means sanctified ones. Those who are separated from sin are going to receive this dominion, notice, over the earth. And the wicked and the demons, they're going to have this dominion. You know, we've been watching, giving commands watching as the angels go forth from our presence to bring those commands to pass. The dominion is being entered into now, saints. It's being entered into. So, and the Lord of everything is giving that dominion to his saints. Okay. The saints of the Most High, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Yes, and that kingdom which does not serve the bride will be destroyed, as we read earlier. The next verse you got was Psalms 9 and 7. But the Lord sitteth as king forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. So, of course, we can see through this revelation that God is judging the wicked for the purpose of bringing some fruit out from among them who repent. And he will judge the world in righteousness. He will minister judgment to the peoples in uprightness. And how does he do this? How does he minister this judgment? Well, if you go back to the previous verse, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So he said the greatness of the kingdoms and the whole heaven, the dominion, he also says, will be given to the saints. So God has the dominion, and he's going to use it through the saints, the sanctified ones. And this second text here is also a confirmation that judgment from God is coming against the faction and other apostates in government and in church, right? Then she got one more word here. Ezekiel 23 and 17. Then the Babylonians came to her to the bed of love, and in their lust they defiled her. That's what happened with the faction. They defiled the people of God. The apostates and the factious defile the people of God, which brings them shame. And after she had defiled, and after she had been defiled by them, she turned away from them in disgust. Yes, they followed some leaders that led them to devastation, destruction, depravity, etc. And he said they're going to turn away from them in disgust. That is, those that repent. It's easy to read the Bible and see what God wants. And people that are blinded think that God favors them while they totally disobey God's word and totally act in hate and against their brethren, etc., etc. It ain't going to happen. God loves justice, he said. Okay, now, this is a revelation given to Natasha, and we called it the larger house. As you know, we've had revelation after revelation about the larger house. Okay, the place of freedom, the place of dominion, right? The place of growth. And she said the local UBM group was at Jeff and Sandy Shaw's house. It was bigger than it is now. Their house really don't have a capability of being much bigger, but so it's spiritual, right? Meaning more people are coming to be with us, right? All of our cars were backed up to their house. So God's using their house as our UBM house here in this parable, right? Our cars were backed up to this house. I remember Blake was there. Well, we heard about Blake coming to visit us, and he's coming in June. Okay, so it'll be then or after then. I believe this is a timing thing here. He had two pickups, orange and dark blue. we were packing. It was like our clothes, coloring books. Y'all don't forget to pack y'all's coloring books now. Everything. Everything that was important to Natasha, she knew, right? Everything. Wrapped in like a white saran wrap. Okay, it was sanctified, right? Separated from the world. And it was white. You couldn't see through it. We finally left. And, of course, they left to go to the big house. The large room. The large steps. He will enlarge thy steps, the Lord says, right? The great authority. And it represents freedom from constraint or bondage. Right? We were on a paved road, but there was still dirt on it. There's still a little dirt on the path, right? I was with Anna, Matt, and Obie Stewart. And I asked Anna if she was pregnant because she was bigger than usual. She said, yes, with a boy. Well, I think this could represent the bride with the man child, or it could be literal. Who knows? And for timing's sake, it could be literal. Okay, I don't know which for sure. Her phone case was coral colored, and it had two clips on it, and she stuck it inside the center console. We had just passed an auto parts store, something like Auto Zone. It was the zone for autos. Autos, again, represent our vehicles at rest, right, in the parking lot. Auto Zones. This is a place for fixing broke vehicles, right? You get parts to fix broke vehicles. It was run down. Anna and I were talking about the baby, and Matthew said that would be a good place to hide when they come after us. Yes, a place for broken parts to repair broken vehicles, right? And, you know, if they come after you, the best thing is to have your vehicle fixed. And I tell you, this revival is going to fix a lot of vehicles. There's going to be a lot of healings and deliverances and blessings. Amen? The local UBM group was following David and Michael to their seven-story house. There's that big house again, you know. Praise God. Notice it's described in different ways because different things are wanted to be gotten across to us here, you know. Seven stories. Seven is, of course, the number of completion, right? Seven-story house. Because we didn't have GPS. We had to follow David and Michael because all of our phones were almost out of battery, and there was no way to plug them in, not even at David and Michael's new house. So does this speak of a threatened bringing down of the grid or local earthquakes bringing down the grid or both? Because, you know, these people do make earthquakes now. They have earthquake machines. And also Planet X. They plan to help. We saw in one vision, they plan to help Planet X shake the earth. They want more earthquake, not less. These are crazy people. Totally crazy. Anyway, they were running out of electricity. And David said, I am sore from walking up and down those stairs. To the high place, right? David's room was on the seventh story. And I believe seven represents that maturity and perfection, right? And I'm representing here the Davids out there. And this is just something that came to me when I read this. When I worked at Exxon Refinery, the seventh floor of the administration building was where the head manager was, right? And, of course, among the ranks, there were a lot of jokes about not going to the seventh floor where the boss is, kind of like not going to the principal's office to get a whooping, you know? People made jokes about that. The seventh floor. Some people went to the wilderness, which was like a forest. In other words, it wasn't necessarily a desert wilderness. There were a few people that went there because they were trying to protect us, keep the bad people away from us. And I remember Leon and Barry and Vanessa and Don and Merlene and Michael. Michael was like the leader. He was telling people what to do. They were in this cabin with a secret door so that no one could get in. And it looked like just a log building. But there was a secret door that you had to go through. Well, we know the door is Christ, right? But also faith is invisible, and it is the key to everything that is closed to other people. It's the condition that the Lord gave, you know, be it unto you according to your faith. And as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. He gave that condition to receive the benefits of the kingdom. And where are you going to need them? Well, in the wilderness where this is talking about, you know, you're going to need these. You're going to live by faith. You can't, folks, store up anything in the wilderness of your carnal mind and expect it to last. You know, I've said it before. I'll say it again. What happens when things get short? They go look for somebody who's got and knock them in the head. They're going to look for a Mormon because they like to store up a lot of food and stuff for the coming tribulation. They're going to look for people like that, and they're going to take it from them sometimes at the cost of their life. You know what you can do? You can store up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust and thieves don't break through and steal. Amen. Store it up in heaven. You can get it back wherever you are. Right? Because the Lord's going to take care of his people in the wilderness. Where did their supply come from? Well, it came out of heaven, didn't it? The manna came out of heaven. The quail came out of heaven, etc., etc. It all came from God. And they couldn't pack it with them. They needed to have it come down where they needed it, right? Yeah, because you pack it with you, somebody's going to knock you in the head. Okay. Someone knew that I didn't know. I grabbed a handful of candy from Judy's candy bag. Judy likes to hand out candy at the beginning of our meetings sometimes. And I believe this represents the faction because they steal, you know. And this is the sweetness of life, I think, that is being represented here. They have stolen the sweetness of life through all their persecution and crucifixion and slander and so on and so forth. So I asked her, do you recall they were trying to protect us, keep the bad people away from us? Yeah, you see there. I believe that this speaks of that some are enduring a wilderness in order to fight the faction against the brethren. Amen. Endure hardship in a wilderness in order to protect the brethren, right? And here's another one. Isn't it amazing that within a few days all of these come together? You know, is that an accident? No. And it wasn't an accident for the first two parts of this revelation, right? So Jeff Shaw got this just on the 10th. And we called it Larger House on the Mountain. Larger House. You know, the mountain can be Zion, right? Which is what? The bride, right? Larger House. He said, Sandy had sent me to the store, so I rode my bike down the steep hill to there. Then I rode back to the base of the steep hill, and I looked up at a golden-like sidewalk. Golden sidewalk. Follow the yellow brick road, right? The sun was shining down on the sidewalk. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Folks, you need to walk in the word. God will keep putting it before you. He'll show you where you stand, and he'll show you where to go. That's what the lamp and the light is for, right? And if you don't obey it, you won't be on that bright path that leads to Zion, that highway of holiness that leads to Zion. You just won't do it. Some people, obedience to the word is just not important. They're following those spirits of lust that drag them every which way, but it's not towards the Lord. Then I saw that the large house was of golden brick. And looked to be two or three stories high as well. All right. Could it be three stories? Spirit, soul, and body, right? Sanctification of the spirit, soul, and body. Or the 30, 60, and 100, right? Fold. Anyway, I got off my bike and I walked up the steep sidewalk to the concrete driveway to where I met David and Matt. And they asked if they could help me bring the groceries into the house. Of course, groceries, food is representative of the things that we need in the kingdom, the knowledge of the word and the knowledge of the principles of the word, right? I, of course, said yes. I opened the front door, which was huge. I believe this represents Jesus as the front is the door, and he's the word. He's the huge door to the larger house, right? Amen. Jesus. We have to go through Jesus into the larger house. There's no other way than through Jesus or through the word into this larger house, this provision for the bride, right? This Jerusalem house or the house of God, right? So the huge door was made of nice wood. And I opened up the front door. As I opened up the front door, a rush of white sunlight, I'm calling it S-O-N, light, came on me from inside the house. Oh, this house is full of light. And the interior was all white. So, saints, you know Jesus provided this for you. He took away your sins. Can you walk by faith? Can you see Jesus in the mirror? Bible says if we can do that, we'll be transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. We behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You're seeing Jesus in you. You're seeing his glory manifested in you. He's doing this work, not us. Some people say you can't be perfect, but they never read the Bible. You can say you can't make yourself perfect. That's clear. But that's not how it works. We walk by faith, and God supplies the power. And he brings it to pass. Amen. Continue to walk by faith. Don't be double-minded. Don't give in to condemnation. In your failures, just keep walking by faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And where is that? In the mirror. Absolutely. 2 Corinthians 3:18. That's what it says. In a mirror. Your trust is an imagination that God has done it in you. You're looking at Jesus in the mirror. It's an imagination. It's a glorified imagination. It's an imagination that is of faith, because you know He took away your sins and He delivered you out of the power of darkness. You don't have to be dark people anymore. And then Sandy appeared to me there, and she asked if I had gotten her produce. And then I woke up. Oh, yes. What a wonderful revelation. And Jeff said, I received a word by faith at random of Haggai 1:7-8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Are you on that glorious walkway? That highway of holiness that leads to Zion? What is holiness? Actually, it's the same word for sanctification. Or sanctified, holiness. Are you walking holy before the Lord? Are you separating from sin through the power of God because of your faith and your confession? It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I have His faith. Reconciliation has been made, which is an exchange. He gave you His faith. Claim it. He gave you reconciliation, an exchange. He took away your unbelief. Don't say, I don't have any faith. Claim the faith of Jesus. You look in the mirror and you see Jesus. Does He have faith? Well, of course He does. You look in the mirror and you see His holiness. You look in the mirror and you see one with power. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, Jesus said. She's just believing on Jesus. What must we do to do the works of God? Believe on Him whom He has sent. Jesus, believe. Don't keep getting drugged down because you look at yourself in the mirror. You know, of course, James said, if you do that, you're going to go away and forget what manner of man you were. And you'll be a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word. Did you hear? If you see yourself in the mirror. That's not believing the gospel, that Jesus took away your sins. He delivered you out of the power of darkness. That's not believing at all. We must repent. We must hold fast. You can do it now. Hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not. For He is faithful that promised. The confession of your hope. What do you hope for? Do you hope to be a sinner all the time, saved by grace? Well, go ahead. You can have that if you want it. But if you're saved by grace, you're not a sinner. You see, it's taking you somewhere, right? So He says, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain. And bring wood and build the house. You know, Noah built a house, didn't he? To the saving of his people. He built a house. Noah means rest. You know what rest means? Rest is people that have faith, according to Paul in Hebrews. He that hath believed doth enter in to that rest. And what does the rest do? Well, the rest builds the house and saves from the flood. Amen? Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified. There it is. He's going to be glorified in His people and marveled at in all them that believed. Because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. See, all these days through the dark ages, people didn't believe in this stuff. But now, when the most Christians live that have lived on the face of the whole earth throughout history, now is when this glorification has to happen. This is the bride coming forth in order to lead the people to the same glorification. We're here to build the house of God. It's also an ark of safety, right? Which is his household, meaning it's made up of his people. We're not talking about a physical building, although physical buildings are really great if you need one bigger than what you got. But the gold bricks made up of his people, who are what? The gold bricks. This is a gold brick house. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Any of y'all that never read The Shepherd of Hermas, you should read it. It's just awesome about the blocks that go into the house, or white square blocks that go into the house. He said you couldn't put any round ones in there. They wouldn't fit. That's not fat people. That's people with lots of riches. In other words, for their own sake. So this is a really neat revelation, and it fits really well with the rest of them. And I didn't know there was going to be a part 3, but you know, there might even be a part 4, but who knows? I don't know. Lord, we just ask you to always guide us, give us wisdom, cause us to be in that number, Lord. We all want to be in the bride. Some people have been led astray and missed the bride because of wicked people who shall bear their shame in doing this. Some people have missed it. Not to say we always are supposed to hold out the hope of faith and repentance, right? To everybody, anybody who has missed it, just repent and believe. Can God do a quick work? Yes, he says he's going to in these days. God can do a quick work. Repent and believe. That means change your mind. Believe what God says in his word. That's what it means. Now, it doesn't matter if your neighbor's not believing these things in this end time. You can be a help to your neighbor, or you can drag everybody down in your house. That happens with the faction. They receive demons and they destroy their old house. It's amazing. It's astounding. It's a work of God. It is the judgment that he said for those that wouldn't forgive in Matthew 18. He commanded him to be sold, him and his whole house, because he didn't have wherewith to pay, because he didn't forgive his fellow brother. He commanded him and his whole house to be sold. So he brought judgment upon him and his house because of what he did. There are people out there who have destroyed their whole house because of their bitterness and unforgiveness, and they just, the demons took them over. And you know what you bring home? The rest of them will get. You bring it in there, they'll get it. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, the Bible says. Cast out the old leaven. So there needs to be repentance and faith and looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus. Right. Beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord. That means his glory is who he is. He is righteous, he is pure, he is powerful. And if you look on him and you receive that gift, remember he gave himself to you on the cross. He gave himself to you. Do you accept this gift? Some people say, I accept Jesus. Well, what do you think that means? Since he was given as a reconciliation, the word reconciliation means an exchange of his life for yours. So you accept Jesus? Well, you're accepting all that he is in you. The Bible doesn't teach accept Jesus. It teaches repent and believe, because in repenting and believing, you get Jesus. You can accept Jesus and sit on a pew and rot there and go to hell when you're through. But you can't repent and believe and do that. Repent and believe. Study the word of God. Put it into your heart that you might not sin against him, the Bible says, right? Our programming needs to be changed. What was passed on to us was the curse of sin and death was passed on to us through our natural parents. But we've got new blood, and the life of the flesh is in the blood. You want life in your flesh? It can only come by your faith in the blood of Jesus, right? Repent and believe. Stand firm upon the word. Don't be moved by what you see, feel, hear. You failed, so well, pick up, repent, and confess the word again. Don't stay down there. The devil's trying to beat you down. He'll remind you and remind you and remind you of all these evil things that you've done. But if you want to get up by faith, if you want to justify yourself, you won't have no help from God. That's it. It's just over. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They're justifying themselves. Blaming someone else, always. You're seeing it in the political world out there. The people who have done the evil are the ones blaming the people who have not done the evil for doing the same thing. That's what those demons do. No, it's not me. I didn't do it. They did it. Of course, the demons want to get the attention off of themselves, so they do. But you're listening to and talking to demons, you see. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's a good deal. A good deal. And if you're going to make it, if you're behind in any way and not in the bride, if you're going to make it, there's only one way to do it. Confess your sins. We've had people that told us that they repented, but they wouldn't confess their sins. I said, no, you bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, like John the Baptist and Jesus said. They just wanted to sneak in so they could do more damage. But that's what I tell them. Yeah, you've repented? Oh, confess your sins. Oh, I didn't do anything. No, that's still the devil. Still the same old devil. So, I mean, you know, this is the way, folks. Humble yourself. God will exalt you. You can come out of that dungeon. You can come out of that basement. God will exalt you if you humble yourself. Thank you, Father, for doing that, Lord. I know there are people out there, there's a large number of people with rejection. And it always leads to, no, I didn't do it. I didn't do anything. Because they have fear of rejection to even think about confessing their sins. But they don't ever confess their sins and they don't ever get rid of them. Never. Rejection is a ticket to hell. You must come against those demons. You must renounce them and cast them down in the name of Jesus. You must do what they don't want you to do, what they cause you to fear to do. That is, confess your sins. Well, people with rejection, as you know, generally blame everybody else for their problem. It's somebody else. It's everybody else. Oh, no, they did this to me and they didn't know. Nobody can make you sin but you. The devil made me do it. No, the devil tempted you and you obeyed because of the lusts of your flesh. If you want to grow, this is the key. You can grow very fast if you obey what the Lord said to get sanctified and delivered from all unrighteousness. You can grow very fast. If you find trouble growing and you haven't confessed your sins, confess your sins. I know people with rejection, for instance, and fear of rejection, they don't grow all of their life. And God has to turn them over to more and more sin to help them see that they can't judge other people. They are not qualified. So this more and more sin is supposed to be a lesson to them. What are you doing judging other people when you're doing the same thing? Didn't the Lord, through Paul, preach this in Romans chapter 1 to those people? How are you going to escape the judgment of God? Now, it doesn't matter. I mean, along with, as I've told you, faction comes lust. sometimes perverted lust, quite commonly. And so what happened? Well, because they didn't confess their sins, God put more pressure, more pressure. It's a road downward. You go down until the flesh is put to death, hopefully. And as Eve was shown here, there's a way out of the dungeon, you know. There's a way out of being underneath the dominion of the grass, which is the flesh. Under the dominion of the flesh is what they were in Egypt. They had to come out from under the dominion of the flesh, out from under the bondage of being ruled by the old man. So as Paul said, they were baptized in the Red Sea. Folks, there is a giant Red Sea coming, especially in the political world and also the spiritual world. There's a giant Red Sea coming. Now, when you go down, you can repent and come up, right? The spiritual man is going to come up on the other side. The carnal man is going down in death, just like all those Egyptians did. And their beasts, they all died. Not one of them survived, according to the scriptures. The spiritual man is to come up on the other side. He's the one the Lord wants. He's the one who has eternal life. The carnal man has no eternal life. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, right? Not going to happen. That doesn't go to heaven. That has to die here. Either spiritually, death to self, or physically, or both. But we came here to die. We're like a seed planted in the dirt. And of course, God doesn't want the plant. He doesn't want the dirt. He wants what the seed brings forth, because the seed was planted by the sower, and the sower is God. So he wants the fruit. That's all he's coming for, is the fruit. All the rest of this has to be left behind. And if you're not bearing that fruit, 30, 60, or 100-fold, you're not going to escape the things that are coming. These are chastenings that are causing you to count the cost of low living. That's what these things are coming for. Do you want to escape them? You have to obey your father then. He's got a whipping coming. And he's faithful to bring that whipping. You must escape by repentance and faith, by confession and faith. First you confess your sin, then you confess God. How? Well, you look in the mirror and you see Jesus. You can't look in the mirror and see Jesus while you're in willful disobedience, because you don't have a sacrifice. You don't have Jesus. Hebrews 10:26. If we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversary. The adversary is the old man. So, you don't have a sacrifice. You can look in the mirror and you can claim you see Jesus, but you don't see him. You still see in your old flesh. And so, repentance, faith, confession, these always work. That's what the Lord says. Always work. This is a wonderful few parables here, talking about the bigger house. It's going to be given to the bride. And how many people are going to then come to be under the bride. You know, the first thing they rebuilt when they came out of Babylon was the temple and city. And then more and more people came and they started rebuilding the towns, you know, and so on. Under the bride they did this. All the waste places that were destroyed when the beast went through, these are people that refused their cross. The beast came through to put them on it. And they lived, by the way, for a long time underneath the dominion of that beast until they decided that they repented and wanted to do it right. So then the Lord set them free to go back and start again. This is a vicious cycle. throughout history, a vicious cycle. The biggest cycle is now because there's more people alive. The biggest opportunity for the church is now because there's more people alive, you know. And we got a big job to do, and God's going to pay for it. He's footing the whole bill. We got a big job to do. There are people that worked desperately to destroy the food of God's people. They wanted to destroy our materials. They wanted to destroy the people that work on our materials. They were desperate to do this because they're full of demons. They stole money that was to go for that. They stole food right out of the people's mouths. But you know what? God has everything under control. They made their choice. Now they have to make another one. And I pray that they do. So, but those who have been faithful, those who haven't gone into sin, he is going to reward with a great reward. A larger house, a larger work to do, a larger authority to have, a lot of freedom. You know, in a small house, it's kind of like being in bondage, isn't it? There's not a lot of freedom to move around, to do things. But the Lord says he's bringing that larger house. And it's on the mountain. Amen. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Father, for your awesome goodness to us. Thank you for drawing us, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us, Lord. We ask you to forgive all of us of our sins and draw us unto you and cause us to inherit the blessings that you gave us from the foundation of the world. Thank you, Father. Thank you for a mighty, mighty, mighty move of your Spirit. Lord, we need a revival now. We know judgment's coming to restore the fear of the Lord. We know the deep state is one of your vessels to bring judgment that will restore the fear of the Lord. Deep state's going to bring a lot of people to the Lord. Did you know that? They don't know that. Their plan is just to kill you. But no, they're going to bring a lot of people to the Lord because God's going to restore the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. In other words, the fear of that word. You tremble before his word. You want to keep his word. And you call upon him to do it in you. Because it's not in you to do it, right? You call upon him to do it in you. Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. How can Christ get in you if you're not going to pay attention to his word? The more you obey his word, the more it lives in you. The less you obey it, the more rebellious you are. And the more judgment you incur. Wouldn't it be nice if you would just serve the Lord and come out from under the curse? There's only one way. And that's obedience through faith. Some people say you can have faith without obedience. You know, I just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? You know, we were talking just this morning about the people who take the name of the Lord in vain. Take the name of the Lord in vain? Yes, we take his name at baptism. You're baptized literally into the name. Into the name. The word name is nature, character, and authority. Some people just take the name in vain because it doesn't manifest any holiness or righteousness or life of Christ in them. They just call themselves Christian. Well, I'm taking the name. But you're taking it in vain because you're not manifesting that name. And the name is the nature, character, and authority of Jesus Christ. And that's what he came to do. Oh, no, David. You don't know your salvation by works. Yes, by God's works. People don't want to be responsible for anything. They're afraid to look at the holiness of the word. So they'd rather hear what their preacher has to say while he tickles their ear. Tell them you're once saved, always saved. You stepped over the line. Now you're in there. but you're saved by faith. And faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not yet seen. You see, as you walk in your faith, you start manifesting your salvation. It's not manifested right away. It goes from 30, 60 to 100-fold, right? Jesus said, these were the people that are going to inherit his kingdom. 3 out of 4 do not, according to the parable of the sower. And they might be claiming it too. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah. And now they've got a convenient doctrine. You can take the mark of the beast, because the mark of God is stronger than the mark of the beast. So don't worry. You still go to heaven. That's how they make their once saved, always saved doctrine, right? They could tell people the truth so that they won't be condemned for lying to God's people and being the cause of their blood. But no, the blood of the saints is on that harlot, right? They're guilty of the blood of the saints for telling these lies. We don't have to get a home free ticket. We've got one. It's Jesus Christ. We behold him in the mirror. We claim what he has done is ours. He says, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. In other words, consider it done. This is an act of faith for those who don't want sin, not for those who want to be justified in their sins. It's an act of faith to get out of sin. All right? You want to get out of sin? Confess him. Repent and confess him. Repent means change your mind. If you believe what you want to believe and what the preacher wants you to believe, you're not going to make it. You need to believe what the Bible says. That's what repentance is. Change your mind. Believe what the Bible says. When we do that, we can have everything that's in there. There's a high motivation in the Bible to holiness. Once saved, always saved doesn't motivate anybody to anything. It makes them satisfied where they are. How do they grow from 30 to 60 to 100-fold fruit of Jesus? They don't. They're satisfied where they are. They just want to be right where they are. I'm okay. I'm okay. You're okay. No, it won't work. You'll miss heaven. And you might even take the mark of the beast, as these wonderful preachers are preaching. But the Bible says you'll be tormented night and day in the presence of the holy angels. Right? Yep, you're going into torment. Repent. You know, as wonderful as everything that President Trump is doing, being used to do in changing the whole economic system, and it is a good change that is coming, and the deep state is wanting to stop it because they can't plunder you anymore. So that's good. But it has its drawbacks, because the system we're going to is easier to go to the mark of the beast. That's right. Oh, no, President Trump is bringing us to the mark of the beast. It doesn't matter who's there. They're going to bring you to the mark of the beast. I'm telling you, because the mark of the beast is God's plan to separate those who are members of the body of the beast from those who are members of the body of Christ. It's God's plan. Try to stop the mark of the beast. Just try. It won't happen. That's people that don't believe that they can be sanctified and holy, that don't believe they can be provided for in the wilderness, that don't believe that God can provide this provision that you need for yourself and your children. That's those people. So they live in this la-la land of their own making. But if you start reading the scriptures like it's a new book every time you pick it up, don't put your preconceived ideas in there, which you've justified yourself with all these years, and your preacher has, and their religion has, and so on and so forth. You go and you read the book, especially the New Testament. You read the book and get it into your heart. And realize that everything in there is right. It is right. There has to be repentance. If you are doing a sin, described as sin by the Bible, there has to be repentance. You cannot grow. The outer man is decaying while the inner man is being renewed day by day. You see, that one or the other is going to demand the most control. As we've said, and as many people have said, feed the white dog, he'll whoop the black dog. You feed the black dog, he'll whoop the white dog. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. It's conditional. Where do they get unconditional? It's conditional. You must overcome. There's no promise to those who don't overcome. Read the first chapters of Revelation. There are people that don't overcome, but their names will be written, will be erased out of the book. You must overcome. And you overcome by faith in Jesus, because when you have faith in Jesus, He does something for you. Faith without works is dead. If you've got faith, God's got the works. He will give them to you. The works were finished from the foundation of the world, the Bible says. The only thing left is for us to enter into those works by faith. You know, they've torn out most of the Bible, just a few little verses they like a whole lot, you know, because they left alone and to themselves, they basically think that this gives them justification. Oh, don't read the rest of that. No, no. I'm the preacher. I went to Bible school. You got to listen to me. I'll tell you how it is. And by the way, bring your tithes. Well, Father, you are so merciful, and I know that in these times to come, under chastening, many of your people are going to wake up and flee for protection under the Lamb of God. And Lord, we pray it so. We want to see a wonderful, great revival, Lord God. We pray it so. And we know you're going to do this because you too love your people. Even in bondage, you love them, but you will cry if they go to hell, as Jesus has done many times. Father, we love you and we thank you. We bless this day in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us today, saints. We're going to do this again sometime. Many blessings to you. Good night.